You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our pastor, the Reverend Charles D. Twyman. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Washed and made us whole. Resurrection Day is the highlight of Christianity. Good Friday could not be good, except he got up on Sunday morning. The song we used to sing in the church years ago was, "Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain. And I want to stay near the cross. I found my joy. I found my peace. I found my life in the cross." We invite your attention this morning to the book of Isaiah. Passage that I hope you'll find familiar to you, and if not, and it would do you well to read chapter 53 in its entirety. Amen. There's some good stuff there. Amen. In Isaiah 53. Beginning at verse 3, you'll find these words: "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." The message is entitled, "What Killed Him Healed Me." What killed him healed me. Isaiah has been called the messianic prophet, for he prophesied more about Jesus' coming than any other prophet in the Old Testament. And here in chapter 53, he gives us a description of Calvary. It is so minute in detail until only when you read the Gospels that you can really see that God was allowing Isaiah to see something 700 years before Jesus was born. The details of Jesus' beating and his crucifixion and even him being buried in the grave with the wicked and the rich are detailed here in Isaiah 53. Yes, Isaiah is the one that says that he wasn't a good-looking man and no one would desire him, for none of the Gospels, none of the Scriptures tells us what Jesus looked like. They do not talk of his height. They do not talk of his hair color. They don't talk of the color of his eye. They don't talk about the texture or the color of his skin. All we know that he was a Jew. Now, some people have a problem, and some people want to make Jesus black and give him nappy hair, and I don't know why you want to do that. I don't care what he looked like. You see, when Jesus died, he did not shed his skin. He shed his blood. And the last time I looked, my blood, your blood, everybody's blood look alike. Amen. I'm just glad he did it. Now, if this message seemed like it's a personal testimony, it is. Because what killed him healed me. Now, I don't know about you, but what killed him, what killed Jesus, healed me. I need to tell you, I was lost. But many like you, I was lost in the church. What a place to be lost at, in the church. In the church. Let me tell you a little bit about myself in case you didn't know. I was one of them fussing, cussing, weed smoking, alcohol drinking, church going people. I might as well just break it down and tell you like it is. Amen. Amen. But I went to church, sung in the choir, put me on the trustee board. When I got out of church, I got my weed. Got my cool cigarettes, got my drink, and did my thing, and went on back to church. I hope I'm not getting all up in your Kool-Aid, amen. I hope nobody else in the church but like I was. There's plenty of room in the balcony for those who can't find a seat down here, amen. Ushers, come on, help us out. We got some people who want to sit down, amen. Some of y'all need to slide over anyway. Y'all taking up two seats. Amen. The description that Isaiah gives us is so accurate in so many ways that we cannot forget the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. There would be no reason to be joyous on this day if we had not known what went through, the price that was paid for our salvation. There's no sense in you getting big-headed because you're a Christian or you have been washed, have your sins washed away. You must appreciate what Jesus did. If you understand what he went through, the going from judgment hall to judgment hall, from being beat with the cat of nine tails that dug into his flesh, that his flesh began to be like ribbons of blood. The beating alone would have been enough to kill Jesus. They blindfolded him and they beat him in the face and say, prophesy and tell us who hit you. And all of this was done, the scourging was done, according to the prophetic word of Isaiah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The crucifixion itself, the unnatural position used in crucifixion made every movement of his body painful. The lacerated veins, the crushed tendons throbbed with increasing anguish as Jesus hung upon the cross. The wounds inflamed by exposure gradually gangrened the arteries. The head, the stomach was swollen and oppressed and surcharged with blood. For every time he had to breathe, he had to push himself up on that nail that they had in his feet. And the nails in his hands were not in the palm of his hand, but in the wrist, for all of this is in the Greek, the hand. They pierced his veins, and he hung there upon the cross. Upon the cross, on the cross. The cross is the center and circumference of the preaching of the apostles and of the life of the New Testament church. For it's at the cross that we find the gospel, the good news. We find the death of Jesus Christ. But it's not good news until we get to the resurrection. For the gospel is the good news of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He got up like he said he would. He said, if you tear down this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. And they weren't talking about Herod's temple. He talked about the temple of his body. The cross, the instrument of death, was detested of the Jews. Cursed is everyone who's hanged upon the cross, is what it reads in Deuteronomy 21:23. Hence it became a stumbling block to them. But oh, how I cherish that old rugged cross. The cross. When we go to Calvary and we investigate through the Gospels, we find that he's crucified between two thieves. He pardons one, but there's someone we do not see at the cross because he had been set free. His name is Barabbas. The Bible said that Barabbas was a criminal chosen by the Jewish Jerusalem mob to the instigation of the priests. Amen. Because it was the delight of Pilate to release at the feast of the Passover somebody from prison. Barabbas was a thief. He was a robber. Even some say he was a murderer. And when he wanted to have Barabbas to die upon the cross, the mob crowd, instigated by the priest, said, "No, give us Jesus, crucify him, crucify him." Not the one that had actually done the crime, but the one had done no crime, the one who had never sinned, crucified Jesus. And Barabbas was set free. When you look at it, I'm Barabbas. You are Barabbas, set free. For Jesus took your place and died for your sins. I've told you before, my sins would have been enough to kill Jesus. Amen. My sins would kill anybody. Amen. Almost killed me, but thank God that what killed him healed me. You see, I've been a Christian now for 41 years. 41 years since I accepted Christ as my Savior. He changed me. I'm no longer the same person. But you know something? The closer I get to God, the more I am conscious of how wretched of a man I am. How in the light of His holiness shows me how all of my imperfections. The closer I get to God, the more I see my sins and my own rebellions, my shortcomings, my weaknesses, the closer I get to Him. And I'm growing in Christ by glory from glory to glory, but I still see my imperfections, and I'll never be right until I see Him face to face. You see, I'm saved. Thank God I'm saved. You know, salvation is a threefold process, don't you? You understand that I am saved from the penalty of sin. I'm being saved from the power of sin. And one day I shall be saved from the presence of sin. But we need pardon for the past, purity for the present, and power for the future. Amen. You see, in my sanctification, that's where I am now. See, once you're saved, you'll never be more saved than you are the moment you are saved, but you can become more sanctified, separated from the sin around you. And sometimes the only way you can be separated from the sin around you, you got to get away from some people around you. Amen. I've had to do a lot of separating in these 41 years from some people who meant no good for me. Who seen my journey but didn't want to take a journey with me. No, you can't be around folk that are not headed the same way you're headed. And I've been crying out telling them about Jesus, but some of them don't believe my report. Our sanctification is threefold. You see, God made us in His image. And when you are saved by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, the idea was that you were lost in a state of depravity. You see that? You were a wreck just like me. You were in need of a new owner. And you thought you owned yourself, but you didn't. Satan had done a job on you. The devil tricked you. He bamboozled you. Even though you thought you were your own. And I've heard, I'm my own man. No, you ain't. You belong to the devil. Whether you realize it or not, all of your life you've been influenced either by good or bad. You have been a product of your race, your culture, your environment, and your experiences. You've never been your own person. When you received Jesus Christ, God came into your life. He took over your body and He took over your soul. And the Holy Spirit became your new manager. The Holy Spirit manages my life. I'm under new management. This property that you see now belongs to God. But there is an ongoing thing in my life. There's an ongoing restoring and making me more like Jesus. I'm becoming more like Him through my sanctification. And my sanctification is also threefold. It's positional, which means that God has set me apart from things. Places I used to go, I don't go no more. Things I used to drink, I don't drink no more. Things I used to smoke, I don't smoke no more. Amen. God has done that. There was a dynamic change in my life. It's progressive. I'm being changed right now from glory to glory. The more I study his word, the more I bend my knees and pray to God, God is changing me. The more I seek his face. And I found out that too many of y'all are seeking his hand instead of seeking his face. You see, if you seek God's face, if you seek to have company with God, God will extend his hand to you. Oh, the Lord knows how to bless you. And then there's the ultimate sanctification. This change will continue until I am glorified, until he takes me on home. Until that time, I'm going to stay on the battlefield. Till I die. What killed him healed me. You are altogether born into this world with this disease called sin. Every one of us, even little children, have a sin nature. Have you ever noticed that you don't have to teach children how to be bad? And you think, just give them some crayons. We had to stop my granddaughter. She was writing all on my floors and everything with crayons. Amen. It's something about them. It's just something within them. They have a sin nature that inherited from Adam when he sinned in the Garden of Eden. We have a propensity to error, to disobey God, to miss the mark. This is what Paul says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can't get around it. See, more than heart disease, more than cancer, more than any other disease, sin is killing people and sending them to hell. There's only one remedy. There's only one antidote for sin. That is the blood of Jesus. Jesus paid the sin debt with his own life and with his own blood. It's a spiritual radiation, a spiritual chemotherapy. It's the blood, but the blood must be applied. And the blood is applied by faith. You got to believe. You see, it's one thing for me to say what killed him healed me. You've got to say the same thing, that he died for me. I know he died for the whole world. We know that the Bible said that. But you've got to make this a personal thing. It's God's antidote. A remedy that stops or controls the effects of poison. For the scripture says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Sin is worse than cancer, but it eats on the inside, and it eats away until next thing we're gone. And it often goes undetected. People can sit up in church and hear the word of God and don't know that they're dying from this cancer called sin. People are in denial. You know what people say? Well, at least I'm not as bad as her. At least I'm not as bad as him. But you're not looking at the word of God. You need to be changed. You need to be holy. You need to be saved by the power of God. They don't see the symptoms. Oh, they're symptoms because you make bad decisions. There's something wrong with your spiritual compass. You're headed in the wrong direction. You do things that, and you think that's all right to do it, but it's not all right to do it because you have been convicted of your sins. See, we have this thing that deters conviction of our sins. We just act like he ain't really talking to us. Right now, somebody's saying that same thing. He ain't talking to me. Yes, I am. The problem is some people just don't want to change. But you cannot be saved without regeneration. A spiritual change brought about in a person's life. In regeneration, a person's sinful nature is changed and he's enabled to respond to God in faith. God works in the human heart and the person responds to God through faith. Thus, generation is an act of God through the Holy Spirit resulting in the resurrection from sin to a new life in Christ Jesus. You must be born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I was that fussing, cussing, weed smoking, drinking, church going, choir member on his way to hell. And God turned me around. I'm so glad he did. I cannot tell you how grateful, how thankful I am. You see, when I was in the church, I was trying to appease God, but not please God. Now, let me tell you the difference. When you appease someone, you pacify them. To gain the goodwill of someone, you give concessions. And I felt like if, and I said, I sit in church and say, well, Lord, you see me here today, don't you? I could be in the world. Yes, I'm hungover, but I'm here. Yeah, I got alcohol on my breath, but I'm here. I got cool cigarettes in my pocket, but I'm here, you know. I felt like what else do you want? You know, I was trying to appease him. But I found out that God will not be appeased, but he must be pleased. And to please God is to give God pleasure, to give him satisfaction, to gratify and delight him. And the only way you can delight God is to give him your life, your soul. You can't appease God. You got to please him. That's all you have is your soul. Everybody got one. It should belong to Jesus. But we don't like to be changed. We think we're all right. People love their depravity. They just want to add Jesus in their life. So they come to church. They say, well, I'll just join the church. I'll get baptized. And I'll add Jesus to my life like you put a charm on a charm bracelet. People, when they see me with my Bible, will think I'm a Christian. I wear a cross around my neck. You don't have to wear a cross. Jesus bore a cross. Amen. People don't want a relationship with God. You see, people come to church, but they don't want God. Ain't that something? They want church. They want the relationship of church people, but they don't want God. People don't want to belong to God, but they want God to belong to them. They want to own God. They want to be delivered from their troubles. I know all the time on Facebook, they be talking about pray for me and all this and that. And some every time somebody gets sick, they let the prayer warriors come on out and pray for me. What, you can't pray for yourself? I mean, I'm just saying, you know. And if you knew the condition of some of your prayer warriors, you don't want them praying for you because you don't know who they're praying to. We pay more attention to trying to take care of this body than to even care about our souls. You're going to die it. You may not stay on it, but you're going to die. You start yoga classes, exercise classes. You give up meat, amen, become a vegetarian or a vegan. You change everything in your diet. You start eating more broccoli, amen, thinking that you're going to get rid of cancer by eating broccoli. You need your soul saved. Because I don't care how fit you are, you're going to die. And if you die in your present state, you are going to hell. I don't care how good you look in your coffin, you're on your way to hell. I'm sorry. I need to make this personal. I ain't talking about you. I'm not trying to make you mad, amen. He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we would be whole. He was whipped so we would be healed. This is how it says in the Message. I love the Message. I read it in Isaiah 53:4. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements. all the things wrong with us, we thought he brought it to himself. But God was punishing him for his own failures, but they were wrong. It was our sin that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him. Our sin. He took punishment and he made his whole through the bruises. We get whole. He made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. We were like sheep who wandered off and got lost. We've all done our own thing. We've done our own way. And God has piled all our sin, everything we've done, all the wrong things on him. Christ became sin for us. Upon that cross. Let me put it like this. He was hung up for all of my hang-ups. Our sins of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He was hung up for all of my hang-ups. And I got a bunch of hang-ups right now. But he was hung up for all of my hang-ups. He was crucified that I might be made free. He was killed that I might be healed. Brothers and sisters, don't take salvation lightly. The closer you get to the Lord, the more humble you should become. Getting close to Christ has a way of making you humble. Has a way of you seeing who you really are and how lost and how imperfect you really are. We have been disobedient in so many different ways. It took Jesus to save us. He was killed that we might be healed. In the light of what was done to him, you need to understand, Barabbas, you've been set free. Not because you were good, not because you did anything right, just because you were set free. Because Christ took your place. Who do you want to please? God or the people around you? And who are you trying to appease that you might have peace? You will never have peace with God trying to appease him. You can only have peace with God and peace from God and peace through God when you please him by giving your life to him. I mean, what do you have to lose? You're going to die anyhow. What do you have to lose? But you can gain all of heaven. I got a whole lot to look forward to. I got a whole lot of people who've gone on before me that I want to see when I get there. And the Bible says that when I see him, I will look like him. And that's enough incentive right there. I want to be like Jesus in every way. So the truth is that everything that was done on Calvary's hill was done for me. Yes, they crucified Jesus. Put a crown of thorns upon his head. And then to make sure that he was dead, they pierced him in his side. The Bible said the blood and the water came out. They pierced the heart sack of Jesus. The thieves were there. They broke their leg, but not a bone would be broken according to prophecy of Christ Jesus. They took him down from that cross and he was dead. He was dead. They put him in a borrowed tomb. They rolled a stone in front of the tomb. And he stayed there all day Friday. He stayed there all day Saturday. I don't know what time it was, but it was 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock or 3 a.m. But the Bible said early Sunday morning, he got up from that grave with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. He got up. Conquered sin, death, and the grave. He got up. Just like he said he would. He got up. Resurrected Christ. He got up. My Savior. Sits at the right hand side of God. Right now, making an intercession for me. Making an intercession for you. Oh, what a great God we have, church. Jesus loves us. Gave his life for us. We should give him everything. We owe him everything. Yeah. What killed him healed me. Please stand to your feet. The door of the church is open. The arms of Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.